You're listening to a podcast from Burleigh Heads Church of Christ, from Burleigh Heads on the Gold Coast.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, James. How are we doing, everyone? Good. It's good to be in church, isn't it? If you don't know me or you haven't met me, my name is Adam, and this is my lovely wife Tegan down the front with our little one Abby and Grace, and it just gives us a great joy, and it's a great privilege for us to be here with you as Pastor Steve and the family are away resting, enjoying all their adventures in a caravan. Who doesn't love to do that? And all those especially that are down at Pottsville enjoying the rain. How good's camping in the rain? But hey, church is not just a service, it's not a building, it is a family coming together. And so what we're going to do is we're going to stand to our feet, find someone maybe we don't know, we haven't seen, and while I get set up, we're going to just say hello to each other, and then I'll pull us back in. And so when you're ready, or if you feel comfortable, please do that now. Say hello to your neighbor. So good. Well, when you're ready, why don't you come on back? Come on back. You might need a pop down there. So good. So the idea is that, hey, you can continue those conversations after the service. Grab a coffee, have some food just outside, and let's continue to do community together. And so, hey, I've just been so encouraged. This was my first week this week coming in, and I've just been so encouraged by the heart of this church. The love and compassion that you guys have for the community of Burleigh and how you guys reflect the love of Jesus. And so to be a part of that is just a great privilege. I really believe that this church is, as Jesus says, a city on a hill, shining the love of Jesus into Burleigh Heads. And so, hey, we're kicking off a new series. But as we go, I'd love to introduce a little bit of myself and my story I preach to you guys over the next coming weeks. But here on the screen, you'll see a little picture. Tegan and I. There we go. Back one. Yeah, back one. Hang on. Tegan and I have been married now for 6 years. This is our seventh year of marriage. I'm right with that, aren't I, Tegan? I just remember just this early stage. We had we were dating, and then we had a three-month engagement party. Tegan was busy getting the wedding together. And then we just had this incredible day. I use the picture on the right just because I think it really shows a little bit more of who we are. It's some alpacas and, they spitting on you and all that sort of stuff. And then, on the left there, you'll see our bridal party. And my best man's here this morning, which is awesome. But it was just a day that we just like, wow, do we feel blessed. Life is so good. And then following on from that, we had an incredible honeymoon. Who doesn't love honeymoons? Sorry, I'll get used to this. And there we are on this beautiful beach. We were blessed to be able to go to the Maldives, which was awesome. And so, Matt, the youth worker, don't get too many ideas, mate. I was still an electrician then, and so I wasn't on that youth worker money. But if you save enough, I know you can do it. But it was just this beautiful season where we had that, and we started our life together as husband and wife, and things were just going so well. Tegan was looking for a job at that point, and she just landed this job in this clinic, and she was so excited. And in this phone call, she calls her mom to tell her to celebrate. And as she calls her mom, she goes, "Hey, mom," and she tells her, "I've got this job. It's so exciting." And then her mom responds, like, saying she's excited, but with a bit of a different tone of voice. And so Tegan just said, "Mom, is everything okay?" And it was in that moment of excitement that her mum just returns and said, "Tegan, I have cancer." And it went from this moment of just this mountaintop, life is good, life is blessed, to this just dropping straight off a cliff into this valley. And there we went on that journey with her. But friends, let me ask you this, what is the blessed life? What is the blessed life? Or as the world might say, what is the good life? And what does it look like for you and I to have the blessed life in a world that is always changing and shifting. What does it mean for you and I to say, I am blessed? Or, as the BCF ad says, this is Living Barry. Today and over this series of the Beatitudes, we're going to look at the abundant life that Jesus offers us in relationship with him. What a kingdom life looks like. What a truly blessed life looks like. And I genuinely believe that for each and every one of us in this room, that Jesus wants to speak to you. That God wants to transform and change your life through this series. And so, I don't know what it looks like for you as you turn up on a Sunday, but I wonder what it might look like for you to lean in as we look through this series. If you haven't got Bibles, I know we've got Bibles around, but bring your Bible, maybe open up your device if you've got a device that has the Bible app on it. Take some notes, and I just wonder what God might want to say during this time. But why don't I pray, and then we'll begin to open up the text. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your love. I thank you that we can gather together, not just as individuals this morning, but as a family. And I pray, God, regardless of our understanding and knowledge of you right now, that I pray that it would increase as we're here. That, God, that we would meet with you, that we would hear your voice, that you would change our hearts, and that you would show us more of who you are. I pray, Lord, you would just use, Lord, my imperfect words for your glory. And we pray that your word would speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And just for context sake, just to do a bit of an introduction, what do we see? And so just before chapter 5, we have in Matthew 4, and it's going to be on the screen, it says this, the gospel writer says this, and this is about Jesus' ministry. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And then in chapter 9, just a few chapters further, he says this same thing. And Jesus went throughout the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. What this tells us is that Jesus' ministry, it had a focus. His focus was about the kingdom of God, to preach, to teach, and to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. And a helpful way to think about the kingdom of God is not to think of it as a geographic location as such, but as the rule and the reign of God. For Jesus to preach and to teach and to demonstrate the kingdom is to show the world God's power and intended purpose for all things. It's to see on earth as it is in heaven. Now, between chapter 4 and chapter 9, we get 5 to 8. And in chapter 8, you can flick there if you want, but Jesus demonstrates the power of the kingdom. So Jesus heals the sick, he casts out demons, he controls the winds and the waves, and it says he heals every affliction and disease. So what Jesus is showing there is the power of the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom, that he has authority over life and death, over sickness and health, over all creation. And do you know what's powerful? Is God has that same same power today in this world. And he moves powerfully in the power of the Spirit through us as believers. Is that pretty good? Well, I think that's pretty good. And then between, just before that, we got 5, 6, and 7, which is Jesus teaching. So he's gone from demonstration, and now he's going to teach on the values of the kingdom. And so what I like to say is, when in doubt, Sermon on the Mount. So you can say that to your neighbor if you want, just so it goes into your mind. When in doubt, Sermon on the Mount. Because I believe that this is some core teaching for you and I as followers of Jesus, or if you're just coming now to be, you know, you're interested in Jesus, for us to comprehend. Verse 1 says this, if you're reading along. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Really simply, for a rabbi to sit down in that culture was a posture of authority. Right? He's about to teach. And so for his disciples, they're going, all right, this is the time that they lean in. They pull out their iPhone, probably don't have iPhones. They're pulling out their notepad, and they're about to weigh and to consider the words of Jesus. And who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to his disciples, the followers that are with him, his 12, but he's also talking to a crowd. And what I love about Jesus, he wasn't just about his disciples, it was about everyone. He wants everyone to hear this message right now, the life-giving message that's found in him. And then Jesus starts this teaching. And I thought, my wife Tegan, how busy are you? I can hold the baby. I just thought Tegan could read the passage for us this morning of the Beatitudes, and before she goes out and looks after all the kids. Yeah, please come on. Why don't we just celebrate Tegan? She comes on up, hey. She doesn't normally get on stage. This is great. We're a team.
Yep. Okay. Okay, and just to clarify, my mum is cancer-free, just because yes. He didn't say that. So she's all good. Okay, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Perfect, thank you. Swap ya. So good. And so if you've got your Bibles, you'll see that it says the word beatitude. And that's not found anywhere else in the Bible. It's from the Latin word that just means blessed. Which, what Jesus is saying here is this is what the blessed life looks like. Let me ask you that question again. What does it look like for you to say, "I am blessed"? Or, "This is living Barry"? How would you answer this question on the screen? To have blank is to be blessed.
Jesus.
Hey, don't get to the ending too quick. To have blank is to be blessed. Would you say good health? Would you say financial security? Would you say to go on that trip, to spend time with loved ones, to have that house, to have food in the cupboard, to have a healthy marriage, to have a good hot meal? For me, when I was just a young guy and I just got a part-time job, I remember skating into KFC, and the good life was going in and picking something on the menu but not checking how much it was, knowing I got enough money in my bank account. Did anyone else know that feeling? That was the good life. For kids, it might be a yes day. I don't know if you've heard about that, but one day of the year, your parents have to say yes to everything that you say. That's a movie. It's just an idea. You can talk to them about that. For parents, it may be a good night's sleep. Maybe our friends down at Pottsville right now just leaning back in their chair and they're saying, "This is the good life." But I wonder how you would answer that question deeply. Now, it's easy for us to quickly to say the name Jesus, maybe, but is that the reflection of your life? When it comes to our culture, McCrindle did a study around in Australia around what our hopes and fears are. And these are a few different generations, but I can't see it, so I'm going to come down here. But here we see some different hopes and fears that come with our different generations, but in our culture. And so our hopes here is that the good life, the blessed life, is to have financial freedom, it's to travel and see the world, it's to pursue interests and hobbies, and if you're not in these generations, it's very similar. To free up time and spend with those I love, that's the good life. To own my own home. But then with that is fears. What isn't the good life? Well, to not have enough money, to suffer from long-term illness, to not reach my full potential, to not make a difference in my life, and to be stuck in a job that I don't enjoy or find fulfillment in. You see, the good life rises and falls on these things. What happens, like the story I shared before, when you're going good and you get a call from your mom who has cancer? What happens when your health fails? What happens when you don't get that promotion, or you lose your job, or you can't afford rent or your mortgage? What happens when your marriage is struggling? What happens when your kids or your grandkids don't want to come and see you? What happens to the good life and the blessed life then? Just a really simple example of the culture is I was sitting with, I saw a guy the other day at the shopping center, and I hadn't seen him in ages. I went to school with him, and as I saw him in this shop, I said, "Hey man, how you going?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I've been working here for 5 years. How depressing is that?" And I thought, that's really an interesting thought, because it was a great job that he was in. But his idea of the good life was this status or this promotion or this next thing. You and I wake up every single day and we are preached at, that we are taught, and we are discipled to tell us and influence that this is the good life. That I should run after these things and chase these things and use all my time and energy to pursue these things. Now, let me say you this. Are these things wrong? No. These things are not wrong. To do these things is great. Who doesn't want to travel? Who doesn't want to spend time with their loved ones? Who doesn't want to have financial security? But the reality is, at the end of the day, they're circumstantial and they leave you wanting. I was sitting with a guy just last week, and he approached the church and wanted to catch up for a coffee, and I sat down with him. And as I'm talking to him, I'm hearing this. He's telling me about this, the pursuit of the good life. And he said, "I've got all these things, Adam. I've achieved all this stuff." He says, "But Adam, at the end of the day," and these were his words, "I go home after everything's said and done. I go home, I lay on my bed, and I feel empty. I go home, I lay on my bed, and I just think there's got to be more." This isn't just this guy feeling that, and maybe you feel like that. But this is also all throughout Scripture. King Solomon talks about this. I don't know if this is a guy you want, you know, I don't know if he's the life of the party, but he had wealth and women and possessions. He had it all. And he says this, "Meaningless, meaningless, as the teacher, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." What's he saying? He's saying, well, everything under the sun, he's talking about everything in this world. He said, when it comes down to it, all these things, while they are good, without God, are meaningless. Thomas Watson says this, "Things of this world will no more things of this world will no more keep out trouble of spirit than a piece of paper will stop a bullet." The blessed life in the eyes of the world does not address the deeper needs of the soul. Temporary, circumstantial, always changing. And when it comes down to it, we go home, we lay on our bed, and we're left wanting. And I think for some of us, the idea in our mind, in our heart, in our head is Jesus is the answer, but the very follow-through of our life doesn't match that. Jesus is saying we don't need something. That the blessed life is having someone. That the blessed life is having Jesus Christ in your life. That you can have everything in the world, but to not have Christ is to have nothing. But you can have nothing in this world and have Christ and have truly everything. The blessed life in the kingdom of God starts with and finishes in Jesus. And this is what he's saying. He says, "Blessed are." Now, we're going to learn a Greek word this morning, which is always fun. You can say you learned some Greek. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "Makarios." Makarios is the Greek word for blessed. And so it means one who's received divine favor. Makarios is described as this deep joy which is sincere, untouchable, this deep satisfaction completely independent of all the chances and changes of life. Isn't that what we need? John MacArthur writes the same thing. It means an inner peace, an inner bliss, an inner happiness, an inward joy that is not produced by circumstances, nor is affected by circumstances. It is a state of happiness, a state of well-being in which God desires his children to live. The blessed life, friends, is having a relationship with God. Now, let me say a few things about just around this beatitude that I think is important. Jesus is not saying in the Beatitudes, hey, if you want blessings, this is how you get it. This is what I need you to do. But what Jesus is saying here is the blessed person, the person that has Christ, that has the divine favor of God in their life, this is the particular person that the Beatitudes explains as you read through them. And if we have a look, and we just nerd out for just a second, if you look at the first Beatitude and the last, it finishes with the last, the same thing, which is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is called an inclusion. So what that means is everything in between these two statements is under the one theme, the kingdom of God. So these are not, if you look in your Bible, it might be helpful, but if these are not like eight different things in the Beatitudes of eight different people, this is one person. That you and I, as we are in the kingdom of God, will receive comfort, inherit heaven, we will be satisfied, we will be called children of God, and we will see God. These are not eight separate things. This just distinguishes a person that follows Jesus and is in the kingdom. This isn't for the spiritually elite. This is just your everyday Joe, right? Your everyday Joe that has the Holy Spirit working in them and through them is to be comforted, is to have a satisfied soul, is to have a present promise with Jesus and a future assurance with Him in heaven where there is no brokenness, where there is no death, and where there is no pain. Isn't that good? Amen? Amen. Ronnie says this, the Beatitudes are no spiritual to-do list to be attempted by eager, rule-keeping disciples. It is a spiritual done list of the qualities God brings to bear in the people who follow Jesus. Now, what's important to know is that as someone that is blessed, it does not mean that life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. It doesn't mean that you won't have financial troubles. It doesn't mean that there are going to be things in your life that go wrong. But what it means that as you walk in those things through life, you walk in them with a God that loves you and that can carry you through them. You walk with a God that satisfies your soul and provides you comfort. You walk through a God that you can see and know and live life with. That is the blessed life. And one day we have a future assurance that all this brokenness is gone and we spend eternity with Him in heaven. How good is that? Isn't that good? Doesn't that make you excited? I think we get familiar with that message. And so the world offers temporary, Jesus offers eternal. The world leaves you wanting and Jesus gives you a satisfied soul. And the world offers you something material and Jesus offers you something spiritual. To be blessed is to have Jesus. And this is that lands us into our first beatitude, which we're going to address in future weeks as we go through the transformation trek practice. But this is important for us to address today because this is the way in. This is how we get into the kingdom. This is what the entry point is for the blessed life. Jesus says, blessed, the one with divine favor, are the poor in spirit. Another Greek word. Turn to your neighbor and say, patokos. Patokos. It won't be on the screen. Patokos. It means extreme spiritual poverty. He says, blessed are those that are spiritually bankrupt. What does he mean by that? Here's a quote, I found it helpful for me. The poor in spirit recognize that they have no spiritual assets. They know they are spiritually bankrupt. The ancient Greek had a word for the working poor and a word for the truly poor. Jesus uses the word here for the truly poor. It indicates someone who must beg for whatever they have to get. For us to enter the kingdom, for you and I to receive salvation and have a relationship with God, it's to approach Him with nothing in our hands. It's to approach Him with the white flag up going, I've got nothing to bring to the table when it comes to my spiritual relationship with you. It's to acknowledge what the Bible says is that we're spiritually lost, that we are sinners and we are stuck and we are not deserving of good, but we are deserving of judgment. and that we are spiritually dead. And the only thing that can change that is Jesus. Let me explain it like this. I did life saving for a long time at Mermaid Beach. When they trained me in that to be a voluntary lifeguard, they trained us where they would have people in the water and you would swim out to save this person in the water. And so if you didn't have that green inflatable boy, that you would just swim out to them. But what they trained you, and I think there is a picture, but you know, I don't know if it's the most appealing picture, someone drowning. But you would swim out to them, and what would you do if you were drowning? Maybe you've almost drowned. You are fighting. You are doing everything you can to stay above the water, to survive, right? And so when someone approaches you, the most natural thing for you to do is to grab onto that person, to push them under, and to try and stay alive. You'll do anything because you're in this survival instinct. And so what they trained us to do is, one, you can go behind that person, but what they suggest is as you're approaching that person, you stop before them and you have to wait for them to come to the end of themselves. You have to wait for them to calm down, to actually give up, to stop before you can step in and before you can help them. And this, in a similar way, is what this is saying. That you and I need to stop fighting through these wrestles of life and against God and actually come before Him with an empty hand, with an empty heart, this posture that says, God, I just give up. I've got nothing to give. I need your help. And it's in that place when your hands are open and your heart is open that He can put something in it. He can put His forgiveness. He can put His mercy. He can put His grace. But guess what? We like to bring stuff, don't we? We love bringing stuff to God. Hey, I've got this little bit, God, that I can contribute here. You know, I'm not that bad. Or maybe we say, God, I'm too gone. God, I don't think I can be forgiven for my wrongs. Well, maybe it's pride. Maybe we say, hey, God, don't tell me how to live. It's almost like we bring what our culture tells us to. We've all seen this ad, haven't you? Cadbury. Here we go. What to bring when you're told not to bring a thing. We take that mindset when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. Hey, maybe even say, hey, Jesus, I've got a really good idea for my life. Hop on my team. If you just hop on my team, we can achieve a lot in this world. Jesus going, come with nothing. Friends, this is really, really, really good news. Because Jesus is not asking you to pick up your socks and to be a particular type of person. Jesus wants you to come before Him and say, I've got nothing. So this morning, if you're tired, if you're discouraged, if you're feeling like you're in that place, like you're in the waves of the world and you're just getting thrown around and you've got nothing to give, that is the perfect place to come. Or maybe you've been going after the good life and you're like, I've got a pretty good idea of this, Jesus. And maybe it's time to go, hey, actually, this isn't working out. I need to stop trying to do things my own way and start doing things God's way. This morning, this posture of being blessed starts with coming with nothing and receiving everything from Jesus. And it's in that posture that you and I start the blessed life. Jesus offers this invitation, Matthew 11. And the band, if you guys, I might be in your way, but if you want to slowly come on up, you can do that. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what I want to present for us this morning as we're going to enter a time of worship. Is I wonder if you're here today and there's an invitation right now from Jesus that's sort of knocking on your head or your heart that says, I need to come back to Him. Maybe it's you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're like, hey, you know what? I've come to the end of my rope. You know what? I've tried the world. I've tried the good life and it's just not working. I go home, I sit at the end of my bed and I feel left wanting and empty. Well, today is an invitation for you to come. Jesus says, come. And maybe you're a Christian here and textbook, you say, you answered that question, Jesus. But when you look at your life right now, that's not how it looks. You've strayed away, you're doing your own thing, you're occupied by things that aren't important, and you've replaced Jesus with the world. My invitation for you and Jesus' invitation is just come. Find rest for your souls. Friends, this is where the blessed life starts. And over the next 8 weeks, 10 weeks, we're going to look through every single beatitude. And we're going to look at, as people of God that have a relationship with Him, that have the Holy Spirit, this is what our life looks like. And you know what? It's going to poke your heart and it's going to ask you to change some things. But ultimately, it's this posture that we've got to take this whole series and this whole year, really, which is to come, God, with going, God, I've got nothing and I need your help. I'm starting this day, God, and I don't know how I'm going to finish it. God, I don't know how to live this Christian life. It's hard. That's the posture of coming poor in spirit. And so why don't you just pray with me before we worship God? And if in here, God knows what's going on in your heart. And I believe that He wants to meet with you as we worship now. Let me pray. Lord God, I just thank You for who You are. God, I thank You for just this simple message that, Lord, while the world is moving and doing its thing and we're a part of it, God, our focus and our attention and our heart most importantly must be on You. I thank You, God, that we are met with comfort. We are met with a satisfied soul in You. We are met with Your presence. And I pray, God, that as we just worship now, that You would speak to us. I pray, God, for the people in this room right now that don't know You, Lord, that want to start that relationship with You. May You meet with them. May You reveal Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness. And God, I just pray for those here now that have been following Jesus for a long time and just have maybe strayed. Maybe they've just gone and done their own thing, or maybe we haven't been fixing our eyes on You, God, the way that we should. Maybe we think we're bringing something to the table. And God, may You just refresh our souls. May You draw us close. May You draw us to a heart of repentance. And God, may You just transform us. And so, Lord, we just offer You this space. May You just speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.